Well, good morning again. Today, I get to conclude our series that we've been going through for several months now called What the World Needs Now. And today, we are going to be looking at perseverance. And as I was thinking about this word perseverance, I realized how much I love to hear a good story of perseverance. ESPN, a lot of times, will do a story on an athlete. And there's always like their rise. They look like everything's going to go great. And then they hit that moment of adversity. They lose that race. They have that injury. Something holds them back. But it's not a good story unless they recover from that obstacle. They persevere and they show themselves through to the end where they win the medal, they win the championship. And we all go, yay, good for them, you know. We see it in movies all the time. Essentially, every movie has that plot where things are going well for somebody. Then they hit the hard part and they drop and then they figure life out and they find love again or whatever happens and they end up happily ever after. I mean, if you were watching a movie and it was strictly everything was easy and going forward and moving forward for that person, and then at the end they reached the climax and everything went happily ever after and the credits rolled, you'd actually be disappointed. You'd be like, that's not actually how life works. It's not that easy. It's not the way that I've ever experienced anything. And yet, while we love a good story of people overcoming adversity, we tend to not be so in love with that concept when it comes to our own lives. In our own lives, we tend to want to be people that want that chart to always be going up and to the right in our lives, always moving forward with ease, moving to the next step, everything's always going forward. That's what we love. And when we hit the adversity, we aren't thinking, well, this is going to make for a great story in my life. We're thinking, wait a minute, God, why did you do this? Why did I not get that job offer? Why did I get this health diagnosis? Why am I always struggling to find love in my life? God, this isn't fair. I don't want to go through whatever it is that you have me going through here. And sometimes we even look at God and we think that he's let us down. We want to blame him and say, what did I do wrong to deserve the fact that my life has hit any obstacle at all? Like I said, we never see it as the opportunity that it is for us to write a great story of overcoming. And I think that's what makes our lives so challenging right now is all of us in this room have hit the same exact obstacle at the exact same time called COVID. And regardless of where you are in life, if you've got kids, you were wrestling with daycare and now schools, and if you were trying to launch into your career, you're trying to figure out how to finish out college and get into that new job. For the retired folks, they're worried about their health issues, and I know people that haven't actually been with their grandkids for months because of this. And did you know that today is the 26th Sunday since we canceled our first service for COVID? That's right. It has been 6 months since the very first case came into Iowa. And when I heard that, I thought, yeah, it feels about that long. We have been doing this for a very long time. And I'm sure if you're like me, there were moments where you wanted to just quit this pandemic and say, enough, I'm done with this. I want it all to go back to the way things used to be. And so here's our poll for the week. On a scale of 1 to 10, and I want you to text your answer in. We're going high tech today, so get out your phones. We have a phone number up here. Just text your answer 1 to 10 to that phone number. We're going to have a live chart that shows your responses. How frustrated are you with this pandemic? A 1 is, I'm so over it. It's not even a thing anymore. I've just totally moved in. I'm fine. A 10 is, this is going to kill me. I am so frustrated. I can't work through this. My anxiety level remains here every single day. 1 to 10. I see you're all getting out your phones. You're so obedient. Thank you for that. We'll see how fast we're able to get our technology up on the screen to show the results. For me, I am probably moving into that direction of a 1. I'm probably more to a 3. Like, okay, just keeping a mask in my pocket all day, every day, so that wherever I go, I just throw it on and don't think twice about it. Rhythm at work has pretty much fallen into place. Rhythm at home has fallen into place. I know if you have kids at home, you're trying to do school, that may be a whole lot more of a challenge as we are trying to figure out how to homeschool our kids or, you know, help them. Even at Waukee, my son's a senior in high school. He has friends that are technically full-time at Waukee High School, and the school said, yeah, we need you seniors out of the building. So like three of their four classes, they're at home, even though they signed up to be in the building. Okay, we've got our results now. Vote by text. Okay, a good number of you, a quarter of you are like, I've moved forward. Then the bulk are kind of in the middle, but there's still some laggards, and that's okay to be a laggard. Normally I'm a laggard in life. Like, this is still really tough for me. This isn't easy. This is something that all of us are fighting to get through. Because this world has been turned upside down for all of us. It's required us to persevere through all the twists and turns. I mean, I'm sure your work situation, many of you probably heard, oh, we're going back in June, and then in July, and then in August, and now you're hearing, oh, it's going to be January, and the same with school. Like, just things kept changing. Our church schedule, it keeps changing because we just don't know what to expect. And perseverance is such an important quality for us to accomplish what we want to accomplish in our lives so that we one day we can be proud of it. Back in 2018, a very popular study came out that showed what separated successful people from the rest. And the conclusion came down to a single word, and that was grit. Grit, they said, is the courage to struggle through something, regardless of the challenges faced. It's a resilience to stick with it, never giving up, passionately pursuing the goal. It's essentially just perseverance. That's the difference between successful people and the rest. Isn't that they have fewer obstacles, that they're smarter, more talented, more skilled. It's simply that they have the perseverance that no matter what comes at them, they keep taking one step after the next and after the next. And many of us would probably say we have a pretty good level of perseverance in our own lives. When we put our minds to something, we're willing to stick with it. We're going to work through those challenges. We're going to accomplish our goals. Unless our goals were set on December 31st, then we as a culture are terrible at sticking with our goals. However, for the most part, we want to strive to be people that stick with something. When I put my mind to it, I'm going to accomplish it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish what I set out to do. But while we may persevere in many areas of life, I wonder if you would consider yourself a person of grit, of resilience, of perseverance when it comes to your spiritual life. We now have been going 6 months with most of our congregation not attending a worship service, not attending a gathering with other people. Sunday schools, many have been put on hiatus. Discipleship groups have kind of been put on hiatus. We haven't been seeing each other. We haven't been encouraging each other the same way as we normally would with a foyer packed with so many people. Life has been so different. And the question is, how have you been persevering in your spiritual life as this challenge has knocked us all backwards? And I hope today, my goal isn't to knock you down and say, shame on you, you're all doing terrible. I hope we walk out of here encouraged that you've got some practical advice to move forward with this. After all, we as a staff aren't feeling any differently than you all are feeling. There have been many times that Brent and I have had conversations with Amy, like, I just feel blah. I just feel spiritually dry. Reading my Bible right now, it feels so hard. But the difference in what perseverance is, it isn't about how you feel or how low you get and being like, oh, the last thing I want to do is read my Bible one more time. What perseverance really is saying, what do you do when you get to the point of feeling that way? All of us are going to have those moments of feeling very low. The question is, when you get there, do you just give up and say, I'm done here? Or do you say, you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray a little bit. I'm going to reach out and text somebody. I'm going to make a phone call. I'm going to take that next step in my spiritual journey. I'm not willing to give up. That's what perseverance is. It isn't saying, I never get knocked down. It's saying, what do you do after you get knocked down? Today we're going to look at the Apostle Paul's instruction that he wrote to the church in Rome. And he begins this book by talking about how we're all justified, not by obeying the law of Moses, but ultimately through our faith in Jesus. And then in chapter 5, there's kind of a transition, and we're going to pick up in chapter 5, verse 1, where Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith," everything he was saying in the first four chapters, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God." So essentially, we're saved by faith because of God's grace. And our boast shouldn't be in the works that we do. We didn't earn this. It's not because we're so good in the hard things. But we boast in the hope that one day we are going to experience God's glory with him. But it takes a turn in the next verse, verse 3. "Not only so that we're boasting in the glory of God, but we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." So not only do we boast in our hope that is the glory of God, that one day we will see him and be with God Almighty, but we are also to rejoice in our sufferings. We boast in the high moments, but we also rejoice in the low. And that's probably not what Paul's readers were expecting to hear after he'd just gone through so much in the book of Romans, to say, "And we also rejoice in the suffering." But then he goes on and he gives us a four-part progression of why we can boast in the suffering. Why that suffering that we experience, which we hate so much, and we love it more in the sports movie that they overcome than we love to actually experience it in our own lives. And he goes through this progression of four things. It starts with suffering. It's important to admit that just because you decide to follow Jesus and say that you're a Christian does not preclude you from experiencing challenges and trials and suffering in life. In fact, there's not a question of if suffering will occur in your life, but when. In fact, sometimes the trials that we face in our lives are the result of us doing everything right. If you follow everything that we've talked about in this series of what the world needs now, and you show mercy to people, or maybe you're a truth teller to somebody, or you have a humility and you approach them with something, even though you're trying to do all the things Jesus tells us to do to bring love to this world, even those things can backfire, and other people can receive them and get mad at you and hold them against you, and all of a sudden you're struggling with a bad situation while you are trying to do the right thing. There's other times that the suffering and the trials that you face are simply things that just happen that you have no control over in your life. And, you know, you get that health report and you're like, "Wow, now I have to deal with this. I didn't earn it. God didn't throw it at me to test me. It just is there." Other times you face suffering of your own doing. You kind of create that pain. We call that God's discipline. But even the discipline of God, he's using ultimately to move us beyond just suffering, but to the next step. After suffering, we persevere. We have to persevere through these challenges, because as we persevere, it builds endurance. It's like somebody who's not a runner and decides, "You know what? I want to try running." My father-in-law, he just hit 60 years old in June, and he decided to sign up for Damned DSM. And it was the same price to sign up for the 10K, which is 6 miles, or the 20K, which is 12 and a half. And he's a frugal man, so he got double bang for his buck. And yesterday, he did a 12 and a half mile. We'll call it a run. But he started training months ago at 6:30 in the morning. He's not a runner, but his little legs were jogging every single morning down the road. And he built up that endurance. And yesterday, I went for a 12 and a half mile jog walk with my father-in-law as he persevered. He put his body through the stress of the race that he did not enjoy. It was not easy. It's not something that he was like, "Yes, I want to do this for the pain." He said, "Yes, I want to do this because I know what's on the other side of this." And his endurance built up. And ultimately, in Paul's progression, then that endurance moves us to what he calls character. And that word for character, in the Greek, it's kind of a word for something we don't have in the English. It really means like that you've been tested, that you have proven in the testing, in the perseverance, you have proven who you are. And that's, we call that the character. And so ultimately, as you've gone through the obstacles in your life, it allows you to prove what's truly inside of you. And we all know when a person's stressed, that's when we find out what's really inside of them. And the question is, when you are incredibly stressed and when you're in suffering, facing a long road of challenges, are you angry and impatient and self-righteous? Or are you humble and merciful, full of lament and looking for peace in situations? Because how you respond when you are tested proves what's inside of you and how much further you need to go in being formed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, we don't rejoice in our pain for the sake of having pain. We're not masochists here. We rejoice in the suffering because we know that we have hope. We know where our endurance through the suffering, we know what the proving of our character is going to lead to. And we look and we say, that goal is where I want to get to. It's like if you've ever climbed a mountain before, or I love going to Devil's Lake State Park in Wisconsin, it's a ton of steps to get to the top. And going, climbing up a mountain or climbing up all these steps at Devil's Lake, it's murderous on your legs. Like your thighs are burning, your lungs are burning, and you're not doing it because you're like, man, I love a good workout. You're doing it because you know once I get to the top of this mountain, once I get to the top of this hill, the view is going to be breathtaking. The motivation isn't to do it to experience the pain. The motivation of going through the suffering, enduring, building that character is because you know at the end you're going to have this view that makes everything worthwhile. And when we bring this back to our spiritual realm in our lives, we have to understand these struggles, these obstacles that are challenging us. They're allowing us to build endurance, which is good. They're allowing us to prove our character, which is great. But ultimately, they're part of our life's journey that one day we are going to stand on a mountaintop with God. And we are going to see him face to face. And he is going to say, well done. And that is going to be our reward. That needs to be our motivation that ultimately we finish well with God. And that we're not just having somebody saying, you should be a better Christian, you should be reading your Bible, you should be praying every day. We shouldn't be doing it because of fear. Well, if I don't do it, I'm going to end up in hell. Those are lousy motivators. Our motivator to persevere has to be our eyes on the prize of saying, I want to experience this hope of eternity with Jesus. And all my brothers and sisters whom I love so much, we need to lift our eyes to Jesus. That's what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says. It says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus has set out a race for us. It's life. And the course has been marked out. He's known from the beginning of time what struggles and difficulties you are going to go through. He didn't put them there to test you. He didn't put them there to say, we'll see how you do here. He's not trying to cause bad things in your life, but he knew it was going to happen. And he also knew that while he is the author of your faith, he is who started the faith inside of you, he's also the perfecter. He knows that the life that's in front of you, the race that's been marked, is going to perfect your faith. It's going to challenge you. It's going to shape you. It's going to mold you. That one day, if you don't give up and give in, you will be able to say, I look more like Jesus because of the difficulties I've gone through. It's formed you and matured you and built up your character. So we allow that motivation of who we can be, who God wants us to be, and where we're going to end up ultimately to motivate us every day to get up, no matter how we feel, no matter how far we've fallen, to say, you know what, today, God, I want to take a step towards you. I want you to do that work inside me of perfecting my faith, even though right now I don't feel like it's very close to perfect at all. And finally, our text in Romans concludes in verse 5 saying, and our hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, the hope we hold for our future will never disappoint us because God is not a God who ever fails us. If he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He can be counted on, and he's not going to fail you now. So you put your hope out there, and no matter what the situation around you looks like, you hold on to that hope and say, I don't worry about what's around me because I can't control that, but I hold on to the hope that I have in God through his love that's been poured out in me, the Holy Spirit that's been given to me. So no matter what we face, Paul is telling us to face that adversity with joy and with hope and with love. And here's the practical encouragement for all of us today who are facing challenges of all kinds. We have to first stop the woe is me mentality. We have to stop looking and saying, my life is so hard, this is not fair, this is terrible, I don't know what to do. We have to get out of that spot of this is awful and we have to move forward. We have to see the obstacles as opportunities. You can't grow in patience unless you have to sit and wait. You can't grow in humility unless your pride is knocked down. You can't grow in anything unless you have been challenged. So stop seeing those challenges as a woe is me, this is terrible. Start seeing the obstacles as opportunities. Thirdly, we have to step forward in faith and in hope. We have to take that step. We have to say, I know what's in front of me and I want that. So I'm going to take steps regardless of how I feel about what's going on around me or how hard this trial is, but I'm going to take steps towards it. And finally, we have to support one another. We do this together. This isn't a journey that we're on all by ourselves. I didn't tell my father-in-law, hey, hope your 12 miles are great, good luck. I said, I'll go alongside you. I'll run with you. Athletes train together. Even NFL players train with other players from other teams during the offseason. Because they all know that training works best when you have somebody beside you. So the question is, who do you have beside you working with you in your spiritual life, encouraging you to take that next step, to get up when you feel weak? We need to do this together. Each of us needs to have a person that we're pouring into and somebody who's pouring into us. And if we can do these things together, then the hope that comes from God will not only carry our own faith forward, but will allow us to be people who give this world what the world needs now. In this series, we've said this world needs Christians who are living out their faith. This world needs Christians who are humble and courageous, peacemaking, who are lamenting over the difficulties and the challenges, who are willing to speak the truth in love to others, who are merciful even to their enemies and generous and willing to give of their time and their money. This world needs Christians who are willing to seek justice for all people. So you may be feeling worn down and wanting to give up, or you may be wondering if this mess is ever going to be over. But I want to encourage you, you can do this, not because of your own strength and your own willpower, but because God has poured his love and his power into each and every one of you. You've not only been filled, but you've been lavishly over this overflowing of God's love and his hope inside of each of every one of us. We have the strength that we need if we lean on Jesus to persevere, to take that step. So wherever you are, right now you may be feeling down and out. You may be like, I don't even know why I came to church today, and this message is something I was not expecting to hear. Wherever you are, if you're on the first floor or you're on the 100th floor of your spiritual high, we each need to be taking that next step, and we need to be taking it with somebody else. That's what perseverance is. It isn't where you're at. It's what you're doing tomorrow to continue to have that grit and that resilience in your relationship with Jesus. Now imagine your life from the top of the mountain. Imagine you're at the end and you're standing there face to face with Jesus. Isn't that what we want to achieve? That's a movie that I want my life to follow. And you can do it and we can do it together. So let's all write that story for our own lives. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?